The title of our message is called A Purpose-Driven Life. Sound familiar? My purpose today in this message is not to discuss the materials contained in the best-selling book by author Rick Warren from Saddleback Church here in California. Neither am I trying to jab at him or discredit him in any way. I just like the title, and it fits with what I'm trying to present today. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at the book of books that can give us a purpose-driven life, and that's this one right here, the Bible. But before we go any further, let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I ask that as we open your word, as we study about a life of a purpose-driven individual, help us to find the divine purpose you have given to each one of us. And may we learn to live our lives surrendered to that purpose. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By the end of this message today, I hope it is instilled, ingrained in each one of you that God has a purpose for your life. Whether you know it now or not, He does have one for you. And I'm going to propose that our willpower, our power of choice, is greatly determined by an understanding and our surrender to the will or the purpose that God has for us. So let me encapsulate this way. I am proposing that the strength of our will is directly related to the understanding that we have of our purpose in life. So let me first define what is the will. What is it? Steps to Christ, page 47, paragraph 1. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. How much depends on the power of the will? Everything. We continue reading. The power of choice God has given to men. It is theirs, ours, to exercise. You, or we, cannot change our hearts. We cannot of ourselves give to God its affections, but we can choose to serve Him. We can give Him our will, and He will then work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Thus, our whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Everything depends on the right action of the will. And what is the will? Simply put, it is our ability to decide. The freedom of choice. This thing right here, the frontal lobe, where decisions are made. Reasoning power. That is the will. So when I use the word will and decision and choice, they're all synonymous. We're talking about the same thing. And today, in this world, we see that suicide is at an all-time high. We also see that depression and emotional and psychological diseases are on the rise. We see a significant number of or level of attrition or backsliding from Christian churches. There are less and less inhibition in general towards evil, against evil, I should say, and immorality. Ultimately, the reason for this, the reason why people do these things is because they choose to do it. That's a simple answer. Why do people get depressed? Well, there might be physiological and psychological reasons that are outside of their control, yes. But to a large degree, people choose. They allow themselves to become controlled by circumstances, and they choose to allow depression to set in. Why do people become violent and immoral? They choose to do those things. Whether we like it or not, we have responsibility. We can choose what we do, how we think, how we live, what we do, what we say. People make bad choices Because they have weak wills. The power of the will is not trained to go against the natural tendencies of human nature. And one reason, I'm not trying to be exhaustive in my explanation today, but one reason I believe why humanity is losing their willpower is because they have no purpose in their life. Besides, why should I restrain my appetite if there is no good reason for me to have good health? Why should I love my wife, stay faithful to her, if there's no good reason to do it? Why should I overcome sin and temptation if there is no reason for me to overcome? If life is just living on this planet, life is just living until I pass into the grave and I can never be perfect and I can never find favor with God anyway, why do it? Why should I not let circumstances get the best of me? Why should I not get depressed and discouraged if there's no reason for me to be otherwise? Why should I give forth my best effort to be full of integrity, to do my work so that I am faithful even when nobody's watching if there's no good reason for me to be faithful? So do you see how it is integrally connected, the two things? Having a purpose in our lives and the ability for us to make good and right and moral decisions. If we have no purpose, and might I say, if we don't have the right purpose, which is God's divine purpose, we cannot, will not, make good and right choices. Our wills will continue to be weak. And so what I want to do today is I want to look at the character Joseph. And this is good because we just went over it an hour ago. So it's fresh on our minds. And we can look at the story while it is on the tip of our tongue, and we can identify qualities in Joseph, or look at situations, events in his life that perhaps can help us gain an understanding of how to live a purpose-driven life and in turn make good decisions. So, Joseph, did he have a purpose in his life? And if so, what was it and how did he find it? Turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, we begin reading in verse 17. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17. God here is speaking to Abraham, who is the great-grandfather of Joseph. Notice what it says, God speaking. In blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy enemy shall possess the gate of his, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Look with me now in Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26, verses 3 and 4. Genesis chapter 26, beginning in verse 3. Speaking now, God speaking to Isaac. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Let's look now in Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28, verse 13 and 14. Genesis chapter 28, beginning in verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This was speaking to Jacob. All through his family history, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph remembered, he learned, he heard that God had given his family a divine purpose. God said, in your family, through your seed, shall the entire world, all of the earth, be blessed through the seed of Abraham. So Joseph was brought into this world. He had very early on gotten instilled in his mind, I am from a peculiar people. God has given me a divine purpose. I am in this world for a very special and specific purpose. I want to look back, however, at another passage in Genesis chapter 15. And we're going to just touch on it now and we'll come back to it in a little bit. Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. God is speaking to Abraham, actually, but he was Abram at this time. Notice what it says. Chapter 15 of Genesis, verse 13. And God said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. So, another promise was given that before the nation of Abraham's family will become this mighty nation that will bless the whole world, they will be in bondage for 400 years to a different nation, in which they are strangers. And after the 400 years, then they will come out with great substance. Keep that in mind. Keep that tucked in your brain somewhere. We're going to come back to that. Let's look now in Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 11. Actually, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of these verses. I know at least in the lesson study group I was with, we read it already. But let's just read verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. The dream that Joseph dreamed, he actually had two dreams. The first dream, they were binding sheaves of wheat, and his brother's sheaves bowed down to his. And then his second dream was there was the sun, moon, and stars, and all of the celestial bodies bowed. I don't know how they could tell that celestial bodies could pay obeisance, that's what it says here, to that one star, but somehow the message was brought home that somehow, some way, sometime, Joseph was going to be a ruler and his family is going to bow down to him. Joseph recognized that in his life there was a divine purpose. His purpose was bound up in being a special group of people, a special messenger, a special seed that through which the entire world will be blessed. Joseph had a purpose. Now, how did that affect his will? How did that affect the ability for him to decide and to choose? What I want to do now for the remainder of this hour together, I want to practice a Bible study strategy together. Often I've been asked, how do you study the Bible? How can I read the Bible and get something meaningful out of it? How do I have morning devotions? Well, I'm going to walk through one such study method with you today. This is what we're going to do. We're going to look at various aspects of Joseph's life, taking events that he went through, and we're going to take ourselves and insert ourselves in Joseph's shoes. When you study the Bible, especially the stories, the Bibles are primarily made up of stories. If you just insert yourself as the character and you begin to think as though you were in his or her position, all of a sudden, Bible study becomes vibrant because you are able to understand what is going on. Why did they think that way? How did he come to that conclusion? And we begin to see the tension and the conflicts, and what happens in the mind. We'll be able to understand those things. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at Joseph's life, and there are going to be many questions that we could ask, but I want to just ask two main questions. two main questions. First question would be, what in the particular circumstance and event that we're looking at, what was the decision that Joseph made? What did he decide? What did he choose to do? How did he choose to react? That's the number one question. What was his choice? What did he decide? The second question is why? How? What reason was there that allowed him to make such a choice? Okay, those are the two main questions. Let's begin. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, verse 28. I'm assuming that we know the background to these stories. I'm not going to read all the verses, just the primary ones that will tell us where we are at. Verse 28, Genesis 37, 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. We know what happened here. We know what the background is to this story. Joseph had been betrayed by his brothers, cast into the pit. They stole his robe. They're about to sell him to the Midianites down to Egypt. And imagine yourself now, chained in shackles, walking down towards Egypt. Your family's camp is just over the hill that way. And you're thinking to yourself, what would you think? How would you feel? What are some words, just simple phrases that can describe what Joseph must be going through? What do you think? You can think about it for a moment. There are many words that come to my mind. Maybe betrayed, scared, inadequate, unprepared, lonely, hurt, traumatized, immature maybe. He can maybe feel like, I don't know how to react. I think those are all feelings that Joseph must have experienced during that time. And now this is the question. What would be the natural reaction if any of us or any normal person was in his shoes? What would be the natural reaction to such a circumstance if something of that magnitude, such a traumatic event happened to you or I? What would be the natural thing for us to do? Just imagine yourself in Joseph's shoes. I'll tell you how I would feel. I would be tempted to give up. Despair, exactly. Become bitter. To become full of vengeance. To become hateful. To be depressed. And can you imagine if he succumbed to those feelings, what would be the result of the rest of the story? Joseph could have ended up being a fighting, bickering, cursing, swearing, bitter young man. And don't we see people like that almost every day? If it were not for the Lord's grace and the power of choice, we would be in the same boat. Because that is the natural inclination of the heart. To become controlled by our circumstances. And we might say, Joseph had every right. He grew up in a broken home. He didn't really have the proper training that he needed to deal with such circumstances. But yet, what did he choose? One of those main questions now. What did he choose to do? He chose. If you were here last week, I read the passage from Patriarchs and Prophets. He chose that regardless the cost, no matter the price, he was going to be faithful. And that choice stemmed out of a recognition of his purpose. Joseph was able to say, yes, this is bad. Yes, I'm in a bind. But God has revealed to me, to my family, that he has a divine purpose. There's a reason for this. I may not understand it now. It may not look like it's going up right now for me. I'm just going down to the pits of Egypt, but God has a purpose for this. And because I know it, by faith I can choose to rise above those circumstances. That's the power of the will. What about in Potiphar's house? Joseph, how do you think he felt when he was elevated to the position of chief steward? Perhaps in his mind he could begin feeling, maybe this is it. He feels justified, perhaps. Maybe a little complacent. Maybe he begins to feel this is what God had in store for me because things are sort of looking a little better now. The natural reaction, at least for me, having gone down to the slave block, being betrayed by my family, and now being trusted by one of the most powerful men in Egypt, I could sit back and begin to think, this is not too bad. Become complacent, to resign to the fact or assumption that this is as good as it gets. Even in success, is it possible that we are making poor choices? Is it possible that there is a time when we must exercise this willpower to go against what we feel is right, what will give us earthly and temporal success? Is it possible? When Mrs. Potiphar tempted Joseph, what would have been some thoughts that went through the mind of Joseph? What if I offended Mrs. Potiphar? This had cost me my life. But this is what God had called me to do. Things are looking up for me. I can't do that. But yet deeper within his soul, he recognized that his purpose, his divine purpose, is far deeper than simply being a chief of the servants in the household of Potiphar. And he was able to say, no, I will not commit this great sin against God because God has a grander, greater purpose in my life. And he chose to go against what would grant him continued security, what would give him a comfortable, successful life, because he knew he had a divine purpose. When he was thrown into prison, how do you think he felt then? Again, the second time perhaps he might be tempted to feel, God, there is no good reason for me to be faithful to you. You let me down. Why should I be faithful still? Where are you now? I thought things were going up. I thought you would bless me if I was faithful, and you did for a while, but why am I in the bind I am now again? That would be my natural reaction. Again, feelings of bitterness, depression, brokenness, hurt, wallowing in the mire. Oh, woe is me, martyrdom syndrome. But was that what Joseph allowed himself to go into? What was the choice that he made? How did he decide to exercise his will? The Bible tells us that he ended up being the chief of the prisoners. He began to take responsibilities and he was entrusted even in prison. And when the baker and the butler came into his life and they were downcast, they were, maligned, misjudged. If I were in Joseph's shoes, I would come to them and mope with them, throw a pity party. Oh, I know exactly how you feel. Yeah, Potiphar. All these guys, they're no good anyway. Have we ever done that? Finding company in misery. But what did he do? What was the choice? What did his will do? He said, what's wrong? Can I help you? And as a result of the selflessness in his heart, he was able to interpret the dream, and a chain of events, you know the rest of the story, brought him out of the pit of slavery. But when the story of the butler was ended happily, and he left the prison, he said, I'll remember you, Joseph. How do you think Joseph felt when he waited, day after day, month after month, expecting word from the butler, hoping against hope that there is some glimmer of freedom at the end of this tunnel, but only to have his hope extended to a long, gruesome death. It was 2 years before the butler remembered Joseph. If you were in Joseph's shoes in that prison during those 2 years, how would you feel? You've gone down, and when you think you can't go any lower, you just went down some more. And when you think that's the rock bottom, somebody pulls up a drill and drills down some more. And you are at the core of the earth. What hope is there? Joseph said, could have said to himself, I give up. God, you are too much for me. Forget it. What good is there to my life? I'm just a slave. But what did he choose? What was the will decision, the power of his will? What did he decide to do? He was still faithful. He was still courageous. And he was still doing his work faithfully. At the end of those 2 years, Pharaoh called Joseph. How do you think he would feel then? Would we say, it's just another one of those experiences, I'll just go and help out and then they'll just throw me back into prison? Or maybe he could have come out as the bitter, unthankful, unrefined, uncouth, cursing, swearing slave that he could have allowed himself to become. He could have come before Pharaoh and said, look, that butler, I don't want to help you guys. Forget it. Can you imagine? It's been 13, 14 years of being misunderstood, wronged, betrayed. But yet, what did Joseph choose to do? It says he changed his raiment and he shaved. He made himself look proper and he presented himself before Pharaoh with dignity. And how could he present himself in that way? Because he understood one very important thing, and that is that God had a purpose for him. And at any moment, he needed to be ready to accept that the door is open and now is the time to go. And he recognized when the Pharaoh of Egypt called him, the door was open, and he could choose. He decided, and he made a decision based upon an understanding that God had a divine will for his life. And there's so much more we could go into. When Joseph becomes prime minister, how did he feel? What decisions did he make? He could have gone home, flaunted his new coat of many colors before his family. Ha! Huh. Look what you did to me, but just wait till what I'm going to do to you. He could have done that, but he didn't. He could have killed his brothers, but he didn't. He forgave. And how could he make such a decision? It was because he recognized the divine will for him and his family. Through this family of broken people, God was going to bless the whole earth. And he was going to do everything in his power, make every choice possible to make that purpose occur and take place. When Joseph was about to die, he made mention of his bones. He said, carry up my bones. Take me back to Canaan. Don't bury me here. How could he make that choice? Because he could have said, build me a pyramid. Build me a monument. Build me a palace. Make some great legacy for me here in Egypt, but he said no. He could make that decision because he recognized that the purpose of God for his people was not in Egypt, but was back in the land of Canaan. And he wanted to make his lasting legacy forever, indelibly marked into the mind of his descendants. There is a divine purpose for us, God's people. This was a very hurried discussion of the life of Joseph, but I think you get the point. Our lives and our decisions are driven by purpose. Or is it? If not, why not? Do you recognize God's divine will and purpose for you, because he surely has one. I can't tell you individually what each one of you is to do in God's work. I can't tell you that. But what I can tell you is that collectively, as a body of believers, God has given us a divine purpose. And our individual purpose, just like Joseph's individual purpose, must mesh, must be compatible, must fit within the paradigm of the grander, greater purpose God has for his people. So what is that purpose? What has God called us as a people to do? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We are now a part of what's called the remnant of the seed. Does that word ring a bell? God promised to Abraham, through thy what? Seed shall all the earth be blessed. And after the death and resurrection of Christ, we are now in the Christian era in which Abraham's seed is now transferred to spiritual Israel. The promise and the purpose that existed in the life of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph is the same purpose for us Seventh-day Adventist remnant Church of God today. God has given us dreams and visions. He has given us signs in the sun, moon, and stars and the heavens to identify this movement as the final one. And God is saying, look, you guys can no longer live normal lives. You no longer can just live lives like anybody else and make decisions just off the whim. Our wills, our decision, our choices must be found within this paradigm, within this sacred circle of the will of God. The purpose that he has for us as the final generation that will perfectly reproduce the character of Christ to the world and show it through our lives, words, and actions to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Is there a purpose for us? Yes. And so how are we choosing? How are we living? How are we making our choices fit within this divine will revealed to God's people in this book? I can't tell you how to live your life, but I can tell you that God has a claim over you, and that your decisions, somehow, someday, you will be accountable to God. And why not live our lives making decisions as Joseph did, bound within the sacred sanctity of God's will, to live our lives in harmony with the divine purpose that God has given to this movement? Is that your desire today? Do you want to give the Lord your will? Because upon that will, everything is dependent. We cannot give ourselves of ourselves to God, but we can choose. And that is my choice today. Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, we are men and women of weak wills. And we recognize that often it's because we have lost sight of the purpose for each one of us and collectively as a body. Help us, Lord, to recognize that we are living as the remnant of your seed. That as Joseph had the divine purpose of blessing the entire world, we too have that same purpose. Help us to make the decisions and to conform our wills and our lives and our words and our thoughts and actions and habits forever according to that will. May we live in harmony of the revealed will which is found in your word. And help us be faithful like Joseph, no matter the cost, no matter our feelings, no matter the apparent circumstances and consequences that may come. Help us to have strength of will to live according to your purpose for us today. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.